the laws of Nesias Kapayim, that's in chapter 128 in the Shulchan Aruch of the Alter Rebbe, and we're up to in subsection 42, Membeis. Over here we're talking about a Kohen Shelo Hispalel Adayin, a Kohen who hasn't prayed yet. He is still before davening, but Umotzo Tzibur Mispalel Noisei. Then he sees that there is a minion which is davening, and they're up to duchening. He hasn't davened yet, so noise kapov, he can go ahead and raise his hands. He can do the nesias kapayim ve'ein hatvila me'akvosi. The fact that he didn't pray yet, that doesn't prevent him from doing the mitzvah of the birchat kohanim to bless. Ve'im yoreish im yale leduchen yaver zeman tvila. But if he's worried, the Kohen, that if he's going to add to the platform to do the duchening, Yaver Zman Tefillah, thank you,
yes,
that the time for the prayer will pass. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Sha'akol Midvarei. So he doesn't want to go to duchening because he's going to miss his time for the davening. It's going to pass. Yelech Chutz Libeis HaKnesses V'Yispalu. So he should go outside of the shul and daven over there, because she'im yiyah b'veis haknesses k'sheyikru koyanim v'lo yale, because if he should remain in the shul, if he'll be in the shul when they announce koyanim and he won't go, yaver be'eset, then he will be violating a prohibition of a command to go bless, and he's not going up. So he'd rather not be there when they call them, so that he wouldn't be violating it. So he should leave the shul if he can't go up there, because he's afraid he's going to miss the time for davening. But if somebody told him, go duchen, or little yodov, or go wash your hands, somebody said to him. So then, lo yelech hachutzel lehispalel. Then he shouldn't go outside to daven. Lo tzorich lalois, but he has to go up. Shelo yaver the eser, shouldn't violate the eser. So even though he's going to end up missing the davening in time, but this way he's been called, and the Torah says that he has to go and bless, and now he'll be violating if he doesn't go. Because the prayer is from the rabbi, so if you're going to miss out, and that is pushed off in front of a positive mitzvah of the Torah. If he worries that if he goes up to the duchening, he's going to miss the time for reading the Shema, then read it without the brachas, just read the Shema itself, and that's do quickly. And if you don't have time to read the whole thing, just read the first verse. Those who say that one pasuk is minatoyra, so just do the first pasuk, or in the parenthesis, or those who say that you do the first section, to those who say that the first portion is from the Torah, as explained earlier in Simen Memvav Siftes. So basically, you must make sure that you're going to do the Shema. Don't lose out the Shema. That's a Torah command. So for a mitzvah of the Rabbanon, that's not a problem. I mean, it's you shouldn't leave the shul, but once they called you, you don't want to violate the asa, so then, even though you're going to miss out on the davening.
Let's say a Kohen, actually, let's say it's his first time in temple or something for a long time.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know how to do that prayer. Does he still go up?
Well, he has to know how to do it. If he doesn't know how to do it, so what is he going to do? I mean, the question is, most of the time, it'll probably be easier if you have somebody going with him, another Kohen, to show him what to do. Because how is he going to know? He doesn't even know how to do it or what's going on. So I don't really think that a Kohen can just come up there and do the duchening without having some guidance first, or maybe some training beforehand. But I guess if you can teach him beforehand, then he can just go up there and do it. And provided that, also we'll see soon, there's certain qualifications that Kohen must have before he can go up. Not every Kohen can go. There's other qualifications we'll see in a minute. We're going to get, soon, later on. Matter of fact, let's see. We're going to be starting to talk about it in the following sif. First, we'll do subsection 43, Mem Gimel. It says, V'chein koyin ha'imed b'tfila. If a Kohen was in the middle of his prayers, they told him, go to the platform or go wash your hands. So they announced him. Tzorich lafsig v'lalis. He must interrupt his davening and go up. Afilu yeshom kohenim achedim. Even though there's other kohanim, he still has to go up. V'im lo amru loy. But if they didn't say to him, ein epoisik im yeshom kohenim achedim. If they didn't tell him specifically, he's not going to stop if there's other kohanim. If there's no other kohanim, he's going to stop anyways. Just to do the bracha in the middle of the davening, he's going to interrupt the davening. Now, he won't stop if there's other kohanim there, even though he is b'beis haknesses, k'shekoyim kohanim. They announce kohanim, so he's called too. Eina oiver mistam shenizbar lamaylo b'sif lamed gimel. For the reason I said earlier in Sif Lamed Gimel, that even though they call generally Kohen, because he said before, because since he's in the middle of the Amidah, he's not intending for him because he's not allowed to move. So the general Kohanim doesn't apply to the person, as we read over there. But if you go directly to somebody, you say, you go up, Kohen, go up. He has to stop his davening and go up over there because he has a mitzvah of the Torah. V'im ein shom kohanim achedim, but if there is no other kohanim, paisik va'ila, then he has to interrupt in davening. So technically what he's saying to you, if a kohen is davening amida and it's time to go up, he has to go up. So that in order not to waste the raising of the hands of the Birchas Kohanim, in order not to waste it, so he has to interrupt the davening. And we said before, this is a mitzvah sasei, so I guess it takes precedent over his davening, because this is a Torah command. So that takes precedent over it. Okay. So now we're going to start learning in subsection 44, what kind of people are not qualified, what kind of Kohanim are not qualified to do the Birchas Kohanim. So, 44, Mem Dalet. Eilu ha-psulim lo tzias kapayim divrei sofrim. The following are disqualified to raise their hands to Duchan, to Birchas Kohanim, and this is from the rabbis. In other words, the rabbis disallow them. Not from the Torah, but the Torah, the rabbis disqualified them. First of all, is Misha Yeshloi Mumin Bifonov Ebiyodov, a person who has defects in his face or in his hands. That means they don't want to keep going. For example, Sheyodov Heim Kifufis Oy Akumis Litzideim. If his hands are bent or crooked to their sides, Oy Sheheim Behaknius. I'm not sure what Behaknius means. Dahainu, which means Shemanumorej Benukudis Dakis. He says they are spotted with small speckled, like on his skin, kinds of spotted. V'chein Imponov Behaknius. Also, if his face is spotted, Oyakumim, or crooked. Loisa is kapif, shouldn't raise his hand. So what's the reason? Because the people look at him, because they look at him strangely, and they won't pay attention to the Uboim Ves Chadas. They won't have the concentration of their minds on the prayer. So because you have to have the kavonim.
But he's gonna cover himself up anyways.
Oh, good point. But you mean when, because he covers over the talus,
yeah.
So you can't see him. But maybe at the time, oh, so he's talking when he go. Nobody looks at the kohen anyways.
Yeah.
Let's see. Good point. V'u'adin, mishi yeshloi mumim b'raglov. And the same thing would be somebody who has defects in his feet. V'makim sh'olim l'dochem b'loi bote shekayim. If you go up without pants, you know, you don't have like pants that cover up the... because those blemishes are open and they look at them. I guess the requirement to cover with the talus and the requirement, those are later requirements. These are, but essentially, originally, I mean, you could look. I mean, so these work with this qualification that some people do look. But defects that are in places that are hidden, they're not open, they don't disqualify from the Sis Kapayim. Even though to serve in the temple, even if you have defects that are not obvious, that still wouldn't allow you. A Kohen with defects cannot serve the temple, but not for Nesias Kapayim. Lokshul and Nesias Kapayim Laveda Elalinyan Amida. The only equation we have between the Kohen's raising his hands and the service is only as far as standing goes. As far as standing goes, we say that just like the service is done standing, the Brichas Kohanim has been done while the Kohen is standing. Shenemar, because the Pasuk states, and this is a Pasuk wrote quoted before actually in Dvarim Perik Yud, Pasuk Ches, it says, Lamed lifnei Hashem l'sharsi l'varich b'shmoy, to stand before Hashem to serve Him and to bless in His name. So over here, we're saying both things, to stand before Hashem, to serve Him, and to bless. So we're equating, the Torah equates them both. L'amido huksha v'leil dovracha. So what it was equated to is just for the requirement that you have to be standing, but not for other things. She'im le'ba kosov ela l'lamid. Al shidois. She'ibamida. If the Pasuk would only come to teach us that the Sherus, that when you serve you have to be standing, Hari Kvar Nemar Lamed L'Sharus. It's already said in another Pasuk earlier, it says in Dvarim Yud Ches, so why would we need, I mean in Yud Ches Hey, in Dvarim Yud Ches Hey, it says Lamed L'Sharus. V'shano v'akosuv l'akev. And the Torah repeated it to say no, that it has to be Shenemar, because the Pasuk says in Perik Yud Ches Zayin, Ha'im Dim Sham. So basically what he's saying over here, sometimes the Torah repeats something twice to tell you that you have to have it, that you must do it in such a way, but not is no good. Sometimes it's like a chatchila, but you don't shana kos la'avid by the service. So the point here is, over here already we have the Torah telling us two times that you have to be standing by the Sherus. So why is this extra Lamed Lifnei Hashem L'Sharshei again? So that is only to say that it is for the Amida, but not for something else. So we know that the Pasuk is coming to teach us also that the Berachas Kohanim should be by standing. So for Amida itself, we have a two psukim for shaders, for regular service, we have two psukim that would tell us that you have to la'akiv, that you have to be standing. And in this pasuk, we also have Lama the Shul Baruch B'Shmoy to teach us that in both you have to be standing, but it's only for the standing and not for other things. So therefore, it would be okay if you have defects that are not qualified for Avoida, but it still be qualified for the Birchas Kohanim. There's other in section 45. He says sometimes let's say he is on his beard there are, he's running, his eyes are tearing, he's tearing. Even if one is blind, even one only eye is blind. Lo yisas kapa, shouldn't raise his hand. They should mistak him, boy. Because people would look at him. You know, I'm not sure whether people can tell or because they know, but whatever. This is people look. Now he says, v'imah yadosh bi'idoy, if in the city he was already, people were used to this. I mean, he gone through that. I mean, the hainu shem regilim boy, makirin. People know him and they recognize that he has that defect. So it's not, it's not something that, you know, it's nothing new. Nobody's going to start looking at something new because people know him already. They've been with him. So kivin shoyse mumu b'fonov, bein shoyse mumu b'fonov bein v'raglim. Whether it's in his, the defect is in his face or in his hands or his feet. Yisa Eskapov, he can still raise his hands. Afilu Suma B'Shteyenov, even if he's blind in both eyes, he can still do the Duchaneg over there. Why? Because people are not going to look at him, because they're used to him already. They know him already, so it's not going to be something new. B'chol mi shesho lamed yoyim b'ir b'mumzeh, anyone who has been for 30 days with this defect, nikra dosh b'ira, he's considered like he's already been threshed in that city, meaning he's been through this already, so he's considered like a regular. B'hu shehu yidah shedorba, provided that it's a city that he lives there, or shebo logurba, or he came to live there, v'shobo shloshim yoyim, and you stay there for 30 days, it's considered your city, people are used to you. V'afilu lebo lishtakeya bo liyis mibnei ha'ir, even if he's not coming to settle over there, to become part of the city people, Elaboli is Malamed, or he maybe comes to be a teacher over there, or a sefer, or a scribe, or a misra shana, a chetz shana, or he gets a job for a year or a half a year. Nikra dosh b'ira b'shleishim yoyim, he's still considered dosh b'ira within 30 days. Lifisha gilim b'nei ha'ir lisa v'litin imi b'dvarim, because the people of the city are already used to dealing with him in matters of mistaklim boi. And they look at him. Vehergel ayin hu belamed yoyim, getting the eye used to, that is 30 days. Kama hergel haloshen, just like the tongue. We say 30 days, and it's bar b'simen kuf yudalad, as explained in kuf yudalad, in sif yud, that at 30 days is considered the standard for which people remember.
What about if somebody did something really embarrassing and all the whole town knows?
That's going to be next. We're going to talk about it, yeah. Okay, well, those are all things we're going to talk about. You know, we'll talk about things. Right now we're talking about physical defects. But if you go temporarily to another city, and you stay there for 30 days, that's not called that you're settled, that you're dosh, you've been threshed in that city, that you've been through there already. Until you stay there for 12 months. Because then it's not custom. The people of the city don't do business with him. So if you just come in a place, if you're coming in a place, even though you're not going to settle there permanently, but you're there for some time, so 30 days is the time frame. But if you go other place, then it would be then it would be 12 months if you just happen to like be there just occasionally came in there. So now he actually answers your question that you asked me before, but you know, so he's in subsection 46. If the tradition of the place is for the Kohanim to put the talus over their faces, I feel he has before of kama mumim, even if it has many blemishes, defects, he says kapov, he can still raise his hands. Why? Because there's nothing to worry about lack of concentration. The people, they're not going to see him, like you said before, exactly, because his talus is going to be over his face, if that's the tradition. But if the custom is not, people, the Kohanim don't put the talus over the face. but because he has the defects, v'rotzo zeh shemum boy, but this guy who has this defect, he wants l'shal shetalisa, he wants to cover his face so they shouldn't see, so people shouldn't see him. Also, that's also prohibited. So you're not allowed to cover yourself the talit. Why? Because he's going to be different than his friend. All the Kohanim don't have their face covered. He has his face covered. So people are going to come and look at him. They'll think, oh, why is he wearing his talus? So he's going to come strange. They're going to take their mind off. Okay, so now the other Kohanim want to protect him. So they say, we're all going to cover our face. Even all the Kohanim want to cover their face, they want to roll their talus over. Ein lahatir, we still cannot permit this. Since the people of that city are not normally used to turn over room of the talus, so now that they are putting it away, the people will recognize that the reason they're doing it is because this guy has a defect. They're going to come to look. Why is this guy here? Why is everybody all of a sudden covering their faces? Something is going on over here. Certainly, if he's going to be, he's the only Kohen, and he's going to really raise his hands, and he's going to roll his talus, cover up with the talus, not the way the usual minhag is, the custom is, who, then it's obvious, it's recognizable that it's because of his defect. The people come to look at him, so he can't do that. Same thing is, if the tradition of the place is that the hands of the Kohanim are inside of the talus that's over their faces, because we learned before that they should be outside of the talus or inside of the talus. So this custom is inside the talus. I feel it, yes, so even if he has that defects in his hand, he's his kapov. He can, because he can still raise his hand, because it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to see what's on his hand because it's covered by the talus. Exactly what you said before. there's one that says, Shehu adin in minhag hakohel chasis pneim, betalus. The same thing would be true if the community covers themselves with the talus, like we do, like we cover the talus. Afilu yesh b'fonu v'yodo of kama mumim. Even he has in his hands and his face many blemishes, he's a kapov. He can raise his hands. Because it doesn't matter if he's covering up, but the people are covering up, they don't see him anyways. They don't look over there. But he says, we don't, it's not the custom. So, in other words, the fact that the Kohen, that the people cover their faces, that's not going to help. Yeah, I don't know why, maybe because they're going to look out, but it's not, the custom is not so. So just the fact that the people cover their face with the talus, roll talus, that's not going to help. Now, next section is section 47. Hoya yodov tzvuois astis. If his hands were painted with astis, upua, I'm not sure exactly, there's a kind of colorings maybe on his hands. Lo yisa kapov. Don't raise your hand. Mipnei shah mistaklim hem, because people will look at the hands as to distract them. Elim kein dosh bira, again, unless he has, unless he's been in the city like that. I'm not sure whether he's always going around like that or whatever. This is a coloring of his hands, because it says if he's common, so it's not like something he just did now. It's something which is always, you know, because it says if people are used to him for 30 days, like we learned before. Maybe we're talking about a painter or something. Maybe he's a painter, he has paint on his hands or something like that. But if most of the people is their work like that, he's a scapov, then he can raise them because it's nothing strange. Then even if he has not, people are not yet accustomed to him, but still, it's not going to draw attention because there's other people. Everybody gets their hand painted with this kind of paint. Subsection 48, Memches. Mishene yidei lachtechoisius, one who cannot pronounce the words, calls them, cut the words properly. Kigoin. Sha'imer la'alfin einin, Ula'ayin in alfim. This is most of us. They say an aleph, they say like an ayin. Or they say an ayin, they say an aleph. To us, an aleph and an ayin almost sounds the same as far as our pronunciation. But those who really know how to pronounce it correctly, it's aleph, and then it's ayin, ayin. It's a more deeper, it comes from the... So people, sometimes people don't know how to make the distinction, like we don't, you know. We don't make the big distinction. But for us, it probably doesn't matter. So if they say they don't know how to pronounce it, then sha'af. So now who cares, really? In the Birchas Kohanim, there is no ayin over there. So ayin, so who cares? Sha'af. She'ein ayin b'Birchas Kohanim. There's no letter ayin in the blessing of the Kohanim. Yair Hashem. When he says Yair Hashem means Hashem shine his light, his face is kind of Yair Hashem. Mechzi, then it's going to appear Koimer Yair with an ayin, with an ayin, which means Shain Vaalav Shoven Etzloi. Because an ayin alf is equal, so it's going to come across. Like he's saying, Yair Hashem, he's going to awaken instead of enlighten. Yair will wake up. V'chein mik shekoyre lisiboylus shiboylus v'lisiboylus siboylus. He can't distinguish between a shit and a sin. So he says everything is. He calls siboylus. He says, or he can't say a s. So he says everything sh. Or he can't say sh. He says everything s. So you can't say sibeles shibeles sibeles. V'chein mi shekoyde lechesin hayin, or you know we have a ches and a hay. He says a hes. You know they say like a hay. They can't say a ch. They can't say you know. So v'chein kol kiyetsi b'zem, and all similar lo yisas kapov. Don't raise your hand. In other words, as long if you're going to come out strange, you shouldn't do it. Unless all the people of the city read like that, then it's okay. So we're talking about if you're making it, if you're different, and then it's going to come out, you're going to sound different, then you can't do the Birchas Kohanim. Like in our country, most of the people, like all people, we don't make a difference between an ayin and an aleph. We just, there's sounds the same. Therefore, this kind of disqualification doesn't apply amongst us because none of us make that distinction. And there's one that says, there's someone who says, that even if you are common in the places where there are many people, she'im avchinin bein shibaylas lisibaylas, they don't make a difference between the shin and the sin, the shibol sibolus, noisim kapeim. They can still raise their hands. So there too, why the shein apsul machmo shein yocholoymer karois kiroi. He says it's just when you pronounce the word incorrectly, it's not that you are just the disqualification is not because you're saying the wrong word, okay? Let's say if you say Yisa Hashem Pono Velecha, okay, you say Yisa, it's a sin. And then let's say you say Yisha. So he says the disqualification is not because he's not saying the letter properly. Elom Ibnesha, maybe it's Omle Eschadas, because you're bringing the people to lack the concentration because you're saying it strangely. Shehem Tmeimolov, Shem Shana Kriyasa Isis. Well, they are surprised. Why is he changing the letters? But in places where people are accustomed to this, like sometimes remember the older chassin, they would say like a, instead of a sin, they say a shin. You know, there's just some they're used to it. We don't worry about it. They don't take off their mind from the blessing. So therefore, we don't care really if you call nine alfim. So according to this idea, even if all the people, even if all the people read it properly, we don't care if you do it ayin and al together. Because since there is no ayin in the blessing of the kahanim, so therefore we don't have to worry about their lack of concentration. The main thing is like the first opinion, that the reason this qualification is not just because people are going to get confused, but you're just changing the meaning of the blessing. But there's no right to do so. The allowance would only be in places where most people, like all people, read it in such a way. This is the way the people is the meaning of the blessing. So if most of the people speak like that, so then you are saying the blessing according to the way the people in this place say it, and that's why that would be okay. Okay, let's do one more. And
this Kohen.
What?
This blessing by the Kohen. Does it have to be in Hebrew?
Yes. Actually, we learned it before, because it says Kohen Baruch Hu. So, it has to, this is one of the things that has to be in Hebrew. Matter of fact, in the Talmud, they have various different things that they go through there, whether they can be said in any language or it has to be specifically in Hebrew. And Birchas Kohanim is one of the things that has to be said specifically in Hebrew. Memtes, 49, subsection 49. Katan, what about a minor? Afilu ben yudgimul shana, even if he's 13 years old, elo shaloi hevi beisaitis, but he didn't bring the two sides, show purity that he's an adult. Eina noise es kapo bifnei atzme, cannot do nesis kabayim by himself. It's not the honor for the community to be subjected, bent to his blessing, because he's still a minor. But with other kahanim, shem gedolim, which are adults, even if he's not 13 years old, he knows how to raise his hands. He can raise hands with them in order to be educated in mitzvahs. But a shoyl of varach and sees kapov, and he can also make a blessing for raising his hands. Commission varach shal mitzvah shupotur mehem in atoyim. Just as he makes a brach on all other mitzvahs, who is technically exempt from the Torah. We educate him from the rabbi. He said to educate a child, so he's still going to make the bracha. So here too, he's going to make the bracha. Mushevi beisaitis. Once he's brought the two hairs, a sign of adulthood. Noise kapov afilu of naatzmoi. Then he can do the siska by himself, bakroi occasionally, but vloibi kvius, but not on a regular basis. Achi is mali zikone, until his beard is filled. Should cover that tzibur, because of the honor of the community. Shein kvoidom, because it's not honorable for them, for the community. Shivarchim yichidi bikvius, that who should bless them on a permanent basis, all by himself, is mishlen is mali zikone. A person who has beard hasn't been filled. No, I'm not sure. He's not talking here about people that are shaving. But v'chol mi shehigia l'shonim sharui l'smal l'skonis. Now he's going to say that anybody who has reached the age who would normally have a full beard, which the ben chav, in other words, he turns 20, apish l'smal l'skonis. So in that case, even if his beard wasn't actually filled, then it's considered like as if it was filled. Even by himself, he can raise his hand, even only he's the only one, in a permanent basis. What is called permanent only if he raises his hand every day? But in our communities, our country, in our countries where the Kohanim only raise their hands only on the holidays, even though he raises his hands on every holiday, this is called like temporary. He's allowed to raise his hands by himself, even if he's under 20. But he has to be careful that he's an adult, so he shouldn't come to Baruch HaVatolah. But I'm not going to understand. But even a cotton can make a bracha. But that's only if we do it with somebody else. I guess the chinuch would not apply if he's just doing, if he's the only one by himself. I have to look at this further.